Bibles, and we're going to be in Ephesians 4 one more time this morning. And I'm going to clean up some things and pull some things together. We've been talking about Ephesians 4, verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. We've been talking about, we started months ago, about possessing the promises of God. And God wants to do great things in our life. And then we talked about possessing the power of God. And God will give you power to overcome your flesh, if you will, our old filthiness, our old vileness, our sinfulness. The problem is, you say, well, then, so am I doing all the work? No, it's kind of like I mentioned the other week when the Israelites went into the promised land. They finally went into the promised land. There was the River Jordan, and it was overflowing its banks. It was in a flood stage, and it was a hard time. You think, well, why in the world did God decide to go over at that time of the year? Because it doesn't flood all the year. Well, God had a lesson he wanted them to have. And so the Levites took the Ark of the Covenant, which had an omer of manna. It had the rod that budded of Aaron's, and it also had the Ten Commandments, the tables of the Ten Commandments: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What that really represents, and all the people were supposed to line up along the shore there of the Jordan, back away, so that everybody could see what was going on. And so then he tells the Levites to take the Ark of the Covenant and head toward the river. Now the river is flooding over. And can you imagine what they're thinking? Everybody thinks we're going to crazy. We're going to run into this river, and we're all going to drown. Now what's going to happen? There's no God. God says this is what we need to do. And sometimes it seems kind of crazy what God asks us to do. But he said, you get in there, get as far as ankle deep there, and the water will open. And sure enough, it stopped. Water ran, and they went across on dry ground, just like the Red Sea. And God was saying, sometime, and here's the point. If they hadn't gotten into the river ankle deep, they wouldn't have seen the river open up. Okay? So they had to obey that which might even seem ridiculous. And then God opens the way and makes it work. Same way when we decide we're going to have the Lord, we say, well, I got saved, so everything should be right and better, and I should be the person I'm supposed to be, and everything just happens magically. No, it doesn't. We do, the just are to live by faith. The just, the ones who are already saved, are supposed to live by faith. Now we get saved by faith and we become justified, but then the just are to live by faith. And so when you're going to notice it here this morning, we need to make a decision to do what God tells us to do. And then it's almost like God, the Bible gives grace, the Lord gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. And he kind of picks you up and kind of carries you on through and helps you do what you said I'm willing to do, but I can't do on my own. You follow what I'm saying here? And so don't think that, okay, I'm going to make a decision, and so I got to make it work. That's the problem. That's the problem. Let me read these couple of verses here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This say I, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in a vanity of their mind. Now, what they're saying is you have a choice. What's the Gentiles, the rest of the world? They have the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. They don't want to see God, they don't want to hear from God, so they don't want God telling them what to do, and so the Gentiles are out doing what they always do. Well, then they're going to get the mess that they always get. He said, but wait a minute, you're Christians. You don't have to have the mess that the rest of the world has. You don't have to have the turmoil and the conflict and the contention. You can have God's blessing on your life. Verse 19, he says, these Gentiles are being past feeling, having given themselves over into lasciviousness. Watch that. They said they gave themselves over. They made a choice, as, you know what? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You know, between two consenting adults, who cares? Let's just do it. I'm not hurting you. You're not hurting me. We made a decision. We're not hurting anybody else. Let's just go ahead and do it. You are hurting yourself. They've given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught of him as the truth is in Jesus. So in other words, if you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us in all truth. If you have that, he's trying to teach you. If you will yield to that, God can do some great things. Verse 22. Watch this. That ye, y'all, putting off concerning the former conversation of the old man, the old habits of the old man. Do you know what I'm saying? There's some things we used to do. You ever hear the song? The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again, and it should be. You say, well, I was born again, and I don't have a whole lot of great change. Well, first of all, you're going to heaven, so that's a change in position. But you can have a change in who you are when you yield to the Word of God. Verse 23, and be, look at this word, renewed in the spirit of your mind. That ye put on, in other words, you got to change your thinking. Now, you make an initial decision that I'm going to change my thinking, I'm going to let God change my thinking. And then God will change your thinking. But if you're not willing to let God change your thinking, then don't expect your thinking to get changed. You see what I'm saying? Now, when you decide you want to let God change your thinking, where are we going to find the thoughts of God? In the Word of God. You see, I want God to change my thinking so that I change what I do, but I don't want to hear any preaching. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want Him telling me what to do. I just want to get rid of the problems. No. The problem, listen, he that hath the Son hath life. And God came to give life, not just life, but life more abundantly. So he can give it to you, but you've got to decide, I want it. It comes from him. He says, so verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on, watch, the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's pray again, and I'm just going to title it again, put on the new man. This is part number three. We'll get rid of this one of these days. Part number three. And I know we kind of belabor this. This is why folks do not have the victorious Christian life they expect God to give them when they get saved. Well, I got saved, and that church thing's not working because nothing's changed. Well, that's because you're still willing to live in your sin. We say, well, I have to. I'm still a sinner. Oh, I know that. But it's not my will to live in my sin. My flesh gets the best of me once in a while, and I may think or say something I shouldn't say or whatever it is. But Lord willing, I want to keep away from that as much as I can, and I'm going to want him to take control of me, to control my thoughts. But even then, I've got to decide, I want your thoughts, and then I got to decide I'm going to do what he asked me to do. But even then he's the one that gives me the power to be able to do it. It's a combination. Let's pray, and we'll talk. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. And Lord, I want our folks to understand this, and I know we've taken a long time on this, but I don't want to just say it and sweep it under the rug and then go back to what we've had. You know, I mean, we got a lot of good folks here, folks who know what I'm talking about here. Some folks who've heard what I'm talking about, and for some folks, this is brand new material. And Lord, we lived in a world so long that we don't even have any idea what we're talking about. Hard for us to wrap our brains around it. But Lord, it's a new life, it's a new man. You've given us something that's miraculous. And so Lord, I ask you to speak to our hearts, help us understand these things. I need your Holy Spirit. They need your Holy Spirit to understand. I need it to speak it in a clear way. So Lord, we put it in your hands. Again, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. As I said, it's taken a long time to cover this material than I wanted. But I'm determined not to rush through these truths. Understanding what I'm telling you is crucial to our spiritual development. It is not possible for us to grow in the Lord spiritually and in our own effort. Let me say it again. It's not possible for us to grow in the Lord spiritually in the effort of our own flesh. We may grow in our own self-righteousness, but to grow in the Lord, we must repent of self and yield to the Spirit of God. Again, God resists the proud. If you think you've got it all under control and you can take care of it, he's resisting you and he will continue to resist you. You can count on it. God resists the proud, but he gives grace, the miracle-working power of God, he gives grace to the humble. If you say, I need it, and you put yourself in his hands at his disposal, if you will. You put yourself in a position where that he doesn't do it is not going to get done. Well, then he starts to work in your life. Galatians 3:1, I've quoted this often before, but it says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth?" Who's convinced you that you should just go ahead and do what you've always been doing? It says, "Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth." You know you're saved, crucified among you. Watch this. It says, "This only would I learn of you." It says, "I got a question, Galatians. Received ye the Spirit of the by the works of the law, or by the hearing of the faith?" When you got saved, and by the way, if you have not the Spirit, you're none of him. That's what the Bible says. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and lives in our heart. That still small voice. He doesn't push anybody around, but he's in there. When you got saved, what did you get? You were the Spirit. You got the Spirit. Who saved you? The Spirit of God. "This only when I learned, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith." How did you get the Holy Spirit in your heart? By working for it till he says, "Oh, this is a good place to live. I'll go over there." No, it's not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, as any man should boast." It's not us. He's not impressed with it. He loves us with an everlasting love, but he's not impressed with us. We're a mess. We're all a mess. So did you get the Spirit by works or by faith? Well, by faith. And then he says this, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit?" You became alive in the Spirit. Your Christian walk started in the Spirit. You were born from above by the Spirit. He says, if you have begun in the Spirit, "Are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" If it took the Spirit to save us in the first place, it's going to take the Spirit to clean us up, to make us new. Our generation of Christians must learn that the spiritual growth that we desire is only going to come as we yield our body and our soul, our minds, to the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. To yield control of our body, our soul, our spirit, our mind to the Spirit of God, we must relinquish our own fleshly control over ourselves. We're not the boss. We're not calling the shots, if you will. We've got to let the Lord call the shots because the Lord knows better. Now, real quick here. Remember, the new spirit comes from God. And there's a new person comes inside of you when you get saved. Now, to see that spirit work, we need to obey the commands of God with a yielded heart. I wrote this down. To enact and engage the power of God in your lives, we must surrender to the will of God in all areas of our lives that we can think of, and thus give ourselves over to be obedient. We cannot be full of self and also full of the Lord's Spirit. The more we're surrendered, the more power we will experience. And in so doing, we're putting off the old man and allowing the Spirit of God to take charge. When we refuse to obey the commands of God, we talked about a little bit this last week, we're putting off the new man that's in here, and we're allowing the old man to take back over. See, the old man is the default. Do you ever get hot in a situation and all of a sudden something came flying out of your mouth? You thought, "Where in the world did that come from? That's not me." Yeah, it is. It's the old man. You see, when the Spirit is not taking control, the old man is the default, and that's the junk that comes out. And by the way, you know, it usually comes out more when you get home with the wife and the husband and the kids. You know, because you're out in public, you got your professional self on, you know. And then you get home and, you know, they've been wearing on you anyway, and all of a sudden, boy, you just pour all over that person. "You only hurt the one you love." You know what I'm talking about? That's the way it is. It seems like, because there's an expectation, and they didn't do what you expected, and meal wasn't on the table, or he didn't bring the milk home you told him to bring home, and he was late by about an hour and a half, and everything, the meatloaf is like a burnt sacrifice. I mean, it's just awful. You don't know, but because of things, and that, what is the old man? Comes flying out. Now, to put the new man back on, which we can, you don't throw him away. He's still there. He's just sitting in the corner because you told him to shut up and go sit in the corner. But what do? We forsake our sin. We confess it, forsake it, and God will show mercy, and he said, "Listen, it's like starting all over again. His mercies are new all every morning. So let's start over again. Let's do it again right this time." Now, remind you, we have the three men. You have the natural man. some definition here. The natural man, that's the person who's not saved. That's the Gentiles he was talking who were blinded by their own ignorance of the truth. They just do their thing. They don't know any better. Did you ever notice that Jesus didn't go around and condemn the big sinners? Who did he really, when he got nose to nose with somebody, who was it? The people who read the Word of God should know better. That's the ones he got nose to nose with. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, they're the bad people, the other one are good. No, it simply means they don't know any better, but they should. And by the way, if you're saved, you know Christ your Savior, we should know better. We should know better. Now, the natural man doesn't know. But when you get saved, you can live in the old man, the carnal man, or you can live in the new man, the spiritual man. Now, the fact is, we have so many different aspects of our life that we're probably living closer to one or the other in this area and closer to one another in another area of our life. Maybe our marriage is doing real well, but maybe we've got this problem here, and just we've got a mess going on. And so, we you know, chances are none of us has hit spiritual perfection. Spiritual man, right? And none of us, if we're saved, probably aren't totally going with just letting our flesh get totally out of control. But we're somewhere in between. The problem is the closer we are to this side, the more problems we're going to cause ourselves. More problems we're going to cause everybody else. More contention we're going to make. The closer that I live on the spiritual side, the better off I'm going to be and the more blessing I'm going to see. If I do right, I'm obeying God. Well, God's going to bless that. He's going to give grace for that. When I do something wrong, he doesn't want his name on that thing. And so he's going to resist you. And so you got him resisting because you're over here doing your thing because you decided to let the flesh go. Are you following what I'm saying? So we've got a new man and we got an old man, and we got to decide who's going to be in control. Now, let me give you a thought here. Let me give you the first thought here for this morning. To put off the old man, and I know you understand this, but I want to get it to you. To put off the old man, put on the new man, we must have a renewing of the mind. We must have a renewing of the mind. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you fill your mind up with is who you are becoming. Dr. Belcher used to always say, my old pastor says, you are what you have been becoming. You've been heading in a certain direction. Do you realize people say, well, I fell into sin? No, you were walking too close to the hole. You didn't fear the sin like we should. Listen, we should be scared to death of sin. To the point we don't want to get anything. Well, I can handle it. It's like the little boy. He's out on the fence, and he's standing there, and mom said, get off the fence. No, she said, get off the fence. No, I'm being careful. No, if you were careful, you'd get away from the edge. Going out to the edge and trying not to fall in is stupid, not careful. Because now you put yourself in a position where one slip, one false move, and boom. People, you know how we live? We live so close to the edge of the cliff because, you see, we like what we see over here. Now, we know we're not supposed to go there, but we're going to live so close to the edge of the cliff. But I'm being careful. No. You see, if you fall, you're in trouble. What if we walk away from the cliff? You know? And if I fall, I might fall close to the edge, but I'm not falling off the edge. See, there's a difference in attitude. See, listen, God is not pleased with this any more than you're pleased with your five-year-old walking on the edge on a 10-foot wall that's about 8 inches wide. And here's your 10-year-old going, I'm being careful, Mommy. Then get away from it. The attitude is, I want to stay as far away from sin because I want to stay as far, as close as I can to the Lord. See, God's not, he's not going to walk in the darkness. Now, we've got to change our thinking. We've got to decide we want our thinking changed. See, some say, well, I wish God would change my thinking, but it just hasn't happened, so I guess just the way I am. How about seeking him? If you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. You cannot what? You cannot wear both the old man and the new man. And by the way, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, if you don't get this settled, and there's people who do this, they spend their Christian life just kind of wandering. Sometimes they're okay, and sometimes they're not. And you know why? Because they've never really settled. Lord's right, I'm wrong. If there's any difference between the two, the Lord's right and I'm not. Stop fighting this. You drive yourself bananas. I've seen Christian lunatics, if you want to say this. They want to live in both sides of the fence and end up sitting on the fence. I grew up with a white picket fence. It's no fun sitting on the fence. It's not fun sitting on the fence. You don't know which way you're going to go. It's like those, I was talking about those teenage girls who, when I went to school, some days they came in and they had their cut-up jeans and their T-shirt and their hair just kind of somewhere there and probably hadn't washed it in 2 days or three, 4 days or whatever it was, you know. And the next day they came in, they had their hair all dialed up and they're wearing a dress and heels and earrings and it looks like they're ready to go to the prom. Who are they? I don't know. They're trying to figure out who they are. And some Christians are trying to figure out who they are. We've got to change our thinking. We need to decide to repent of sin. And if the fruit is not changing, then the root has not changed. And because by their fruit ye shall know them. Now, are you tired of living in the old clothes? Go back to Ephesians 4. Look at verse 22. He says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. He says, I want you to put off the old man, the old way of life, the old way of thinking, the old habits. Now you say, well, I can't do it. But you decide decide you're going to do it. Lord, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to put my feet in, I'm going to go as far as I can. I can't go through the floods. I know there's more there than I can handle, but I'm going to go in ankle deep. And Lord, I'm trusting you that when I'm moving that direction, I'm truly making a decision. Lord, would you carry me the rest of the way? Would you open up the waters? Will you help me get through? But you've got to determine, it's not, well, ankle deep. Not waiting any longer than that. Not working. I'll go around it somehow or other here. He says that you put off. That means to put away from yourself. Really means to divorce yourself from. To say, I don't want you to be any longer be part of me. To throw it away from you. He says, I want you to throw away the old way of life, the former conversation of that old man. I don't want that anymore. The old song, that was a Gaither song. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. The old song talks about old daddy used to come home drunk and beat the kids and beat mama. And he remember what the house used to be and what it was like. He says, I'm saved. Something's different. But you know what? Sometimes you say, well, I'm not that far. I wasn't that far gone. And that's the problem. Sometimes we get saved, we're going to heaven, and we just kind of stay where we are because, you know, I wasn't so bad. Sometimes, sometimes somebody does realize how bad their sin is, has had some results of it, so they can get scared of the sin. So when they get saved, they want to get away from the sin. But why do we have to wait till something gets bad before we go ahead and get better? He didn't say things got to get worse before they can get better. That's what the world says. No, stay away from it. I don't want to get anywhere close to it. So we need to throw the old man out. He said the old man is corrupt, look at it, according to the deceitful lusts. Our lusts will lie to us. You know what? You know what would make you happy? Do you want to make everything better? If you could just get rid of that woman you're living with. You know what? What make everything better?
You know, if I just told my boss off and got a different job, that'll make me better. That'll make things better. You know what make me feel? You know what I just, listen, I can't help it. What I really need is a good stiff drink. What I really need, my wife's not meeting my needs, so I'm going to find, there's a gal down at work, and she just seems to understand me. And if I could just get this tension off, I could handle it. What I really need is to go out and buy a new car that I can't afford. Yeah, really. What I really need is my 513th pair of shoes. What I really need, see that's what our lust says. See, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Listen, I could be a good person if my wife would just respect me. Well, maybe if you're a good person, she would. Ooh. I could be a good wife if my husband would just treat me like he loves me. Well, maybe if you were a good wife, he would. I can't change him, but I can change me as I give myself to him. We have to change our thinking. I got to take the old man, the fleshly man, the sinful man that I know, and sometimes we have duped ourselves for so long, we've forgotten some of the definition of what's wrong, what it means to be a sinner. We have smoothed it over. We have justified it. We have reasoned it out, rationalized it, until we hardly even know. Now, we get back in the Word. Well, that can't be right. That means that I've been wrong for the last 35 years. Yeah, maybe so. We need to divorce ourselves from that old man and say, I don't want to have anything to do with him. In fact, it says here, we need to throw the old man out. We must start with demolition day. When we get rid of everything that will hold back the full development of the new man. At that point, it's hardly the same person anymore. But isn't that what we want to happen? Where did the old man get us anyway? Hasn't done any good for us. The old shall have passed away, the new shall have come to stay. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. We now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In other words, we need to be remade until we are like a whole new person. Now, you're still going to have the same sense of humor. You don't like, but I got a kind of a crazy sense of humor. But that's just who I've always been. That's fine. That's not the problem. But it won't be a dirty sense of humor. You see what I'm saying? You're still the same person, but just not the mean and nasty part of it. We put on the new man, now watch me, by having our old man surrender to the new man. Look at verse 23. Verse 23 in your Ephesians 4. In fact, go back 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, I kind of gave my little illustration away here, but he says, be renewed in the spirit. That word renewed means renovated, made fresh, without, not stale, without corruption, regenerated. In other words, an extreme makeover. Heart edition. We need to put on some new clothes. Take the old ratty clothes and refuse to wear them anymore, and better yet, throw them away. There's some things you might need to dump down the drink, down the sink. There may be some things you just need to throw away. There may be some things you need to put in the fireplace. Now, you might think this is extreme, but I remember years ago, I sang my first solo when I was 4 years old. I started traveling with my aunt and uncle, going around churches and singing when I was 12. When I was 15, 16 years old, I had a group that went around other churches, and we did programs, and And I started directing the church choir when I was 18 years old, and meantime sang with that group, and then I ended up singing with a Southern gospel bluegrass group, and got my mandolin, all that stuff, and all those fine, and that's all fine, Dave. I'm not knocking that. But I had grown up being taught a lot of other music, and I had a whole file cabinet full of that old stuff, that old rock and roll music, not stuff. Now, you might think I'm being crazy, but there it was. And we were married, and I had packed up all that stuff and moved it to our new house. There it was. I sat in the basement, sat there, and sat. I didn't use it, but just sat there and sat there and sat there. And it was one of those things, like, you know, maybe I'll need that once, but I wasn't going to go back and use it. I decided what I am is for God to use. However that may be, if I get paid before doing, fine. If not, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go back and use the gift that God has given me in the wrong way. But there it was. I couldn't bring myself. And so finally one day, I don't know whether you remember when I did this. I was down there in the basement, and it was about this time of year when we had our stove running. And every time I go past that file cabinet, it was like, you know, Sterling, what you're supposed to do with that? And no one knew, and no one cared. It was, well, I'm not going to use it, it's okay. And then the Lord said, well, if you're not going to use it, it's okay, then why are you keeping it? Why are you leaving it there just to entice you? I mean, I had a whole big old file cabinet full of music. We heated our house with that music that day. Now, fact is, I could have packed it up in a box and put it up in the attic or something. Well, it's out of the way, out of sight, but it's not gone. You see, when we need to sometimes come to the point of reality and say, you know what, I don't want it. I don't even want to be tempted by it. I'm going to get rid of it. There may be some things in our life we got to surrender. We got to get rid of the old man, kick him, boot him out of town. And says we need to be renewed. We cannot have a new house without giving up the old house. When you get the new house, don't mess it up by bringing all the old dirty stuff into the new house. We have to give it up, surrender the old, if we are going to be able to live in the new. Surrender. Sacrifice it. Listen, when they put a sacrifice on the altar, they slit its throat and they burned it. There was no return. So there are some things we need to sacrifice, if you want to say it that way. We're better off just getting rid of it. It's just trash, probably, anyway. And say, I'm going to get rid of this thing. And then he says, put on the new man. Look at verse 24 again. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, when you put him away, what are you getting rid of? Look at verse 25. Wherefore, putting away, this is the trash. This is the trash we're going to get rid of. Lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry. Anger happens, but sin not. Don't let it push you into sin. Let not the sun go down in your wrath. Get it right as soon as you can. This is where people get angry. But deal with it. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't, that was getting rid of the music. See, if it's not there, I can't use it. That is, don't be alone in the same office when everybody else leaves after hours with that gal who's been sweet on you. Don't give place. That magazine that has a good article, but you know you're going to be drawn to some things in that magazine you shouldn't be attending to, don't get one. Don't give him a chance. Why? I want the new man in control. And if I don't get rid of the stuff that rears up the head of the old man, I'm going to be fighting that old man and the new man, and there I am, and a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's basically bunkers. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole, a little bit here and there, steal no more.
but rather let him get a job, labor, working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Well, I'm going to give it to my favorite charity, me. You're lying to yourself. Let no corrupt communication, verse 29, come proceed out of your mouth. All that stuff. So is this the best you can do? Well, that's a bit. Listen, when someone says to you, is this the best you can do? Does it build them up or does it tear them down? Does it build a relationship or does it shoot holes in a relationship? Well, you stupid kid, what's the matter with you? Don't you have any brains in your head? You've been laying too long on one side and your brain done rolled out your ear. Corrupt, destroying communication. But that which is good to use edifying builds up that he may minister grace to the hearer. We need to renew our thinking. We need to stop thinking about that we have a life to live and that God owes us a good life. You know what I'm saying? Well, I have a life. God owes me a good life. I'm mad at God because, you know, I asked for so-and-so and I haven't got it. You know, I don't have what they have over there. That's not the way you're going to get your good life. God owes us nothing. He gives grace to the humble. And when you think God owes you, that's not humble. Be thankful for every ounce of mercy that God exercises toward us. Now, I want you to turn to Romans 12, and I want to show you something here. I know it's getting late again. It's crazy. So much good here. Romans 12:1 says this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, throw yourself at God's mercy. Let him have his way with you. That ye present your bodies, your person, your life here on this earth, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That ye may prove or live or demonstrate, have a testimony of what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, you want to see God do amazing things and change who you are. You want to see God give you the new man. Well, here's what you need to do. Give yourself, present yourself as a living sacrifice. Now, he didn't say kill yourself. He says, you're no good to be dead. I want you alive. But what I want you to do is say, it's not my life. I relinquish all control of it, and I want to give it to you, God. And he said, by the way, it's your reasonable service. Why is that? Because we wouldn't have a life if he hadn't already done that exact same thing and offered himself a sacrifice where he gave everything, including his life. So we, a bunch of sinners, would not be lost in hell, but be able to be with him for eternity. He says, there is where you're going to change. When you realize what we don't deserve and what God has given us. Well, I shouldn't have been treated that way. Well, probably not. Now, were you treated as bad as Jesus? Well, no. Do you deserve more than Jesus? Well, no. Are you in hell yet? No, I'm not in hell. Feels like, come on. Well, I've lived my hell on earth, so I think I'm going to heaven. You ain't seen hell. Let me walk through this with you real quick. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, verse 1, by the mercies of God that ye present. The word present means to stand yourself before. All of yourself, nothing but yourself, but all of yourself.
here I am. Present your bodies, all that you are in this earth, as a living sacrifice, a living victim, totally surrendered, as the story of Isaac. Well, Dad, you've got the wood, you've got the fire, where's the sacrifice? He said, well, God will provide a lamb. You know, it doesn't say in there that Isaac struggled, but Abraham strapped him to the altar. I don't know whether he put a blindfold on Isaac. I don't know. If he didn't, he could see his daddy raise that knife because he was going to do something God only God said. But then God put a ram in the thicket, the lamb that would die in his place. This is where we are, where Isaac was. That's where we should have been. Jesus was the ram who died in our place. Hadn't done anything wrong. He says, present your body a living victim, a living sacrifice. Watch. Holy. That means clean, sacred, set apart for his exclusive use. Here I am. Not my use, yours. Holy, acceptable unto God, means fully agreeing with God and what he wants and when well-pleasing him. Lord, I want what you want in my life. I want to do what you want. I don't want to do what you don't want. You got to make a decision. You got to have a renewing of your mind if you expect God to come in and take in. I'll tell you what you got to do. You got to wade into the water.
Wade into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper.
You need to go out. You need to wade in the water and let God take you from there. He said, "Well, when the water goes away, then I'll it'll wait a little while, and the flooding time will be gone. And then I'll go across the river." Sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. This is the only logical thing we could do, remembering how Jesus was a sacrifice to us. We give ourselves totally to service for God only. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. In other words, do not fashion yourself after the patterns of this world, which is full of sin and full of folks who are not saved and thus living in the natural man who don't understand the ways of God and sees the ways of God as foolishness. We're Christian. Not as the Gentiles walk in the blindness of their minds. Blind, and they don't know any better. Why in the world would we want to do that? We're walking like that. Well, God saved us from that. We want to see God make us a new creation, but we want to go live like the rest of the world. Don't get mad at me. We have no business shacking up. We have no business going out and doing a lot of things that the world does. It's just become normal. Well, then, if that's normal and you're going to live according to their normality, then you're going to get what they normally get. And you come, this, if you were a fly on the wall in my office, you would have heard, you hear a lot of things that sin has brought on, and it's not worth the squeezing. I'm almost done. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye, here it is, transformed. Metamorphosis. You know, that's the process you go from being a worm to being a butterfly that flies above all that mess. That's exactly what it said. Be transformed. Here, watch. You once were a worm crawling in the dirt, but now you're a butterfly that flies above the earth. Watch. By the renewing, the renovation of your mind, your intellect, what you think about, that ye may prove, be a living human proof, living testimony of what is good and acceptable, of benefit, valuable, not hurtful, not damaging, and fully agreeing with God and well-pleasing, complete, perfect will of God. What do you fill your mind with? Dirt? Well, your house will be as filthy as the old house. There are Christians who live in as filthy life as they did before they got saved. Why? Because they did not surrender themselves a living sacrifice and say, now you give me eternal life, I owe you my life. But here's the thing, you never outgive God. You give him your life, he'll give you a better one. I'm serious. He'll give you a better one. We got to stop. My soul, look what time it is. Maybe some other time I'll do this last little part. It's more of a summary anyway. Go back and read Colossians 3, 1 through 25 sometime this week. Colossians 3, 1 through 25. With all that in mind, the old man, the new man, if you want the new start, if you want the blessings that come from being saved, you need to sacrifice yourself to him. Here I am. Well, it's no. My wife does a message with the ladies. Sometimes she's out speaking here and there, and, she does a message called "It's No Sacrifice." You know, we kind of think living a life for Christ is a real sacrifice, and then you cast your water upon your bread upon the water, and it starts coming back to you. You give, and it's given back, pressed down, running over. So you can't listen. God is amazing. But you've got to let God be God in your life. Father, again, we thank you again for your blessings. Thank these dear folks have been very patient. And I know I always talk too long. But Lord, there's so much good in here. I just want them to know truth. I want them to feel the victory that we can have in Jesus. I want them to see the sweetness. And even sometimes, Lord, it's amazing, but you give back the years that the locust ate. Things can become sweet. Anything's possible. One day. We think we can wait and think it's never going to come, and yet one day, things can be different. Lord, I pray that you speak to the hearts of our folks. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.